Jennifer, good morning.
Hi, Philip. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Thanks so much for joining me. Now, firstly, I suppose a lot of people might find it a bit shocking to learn just how bad slavery is in the 21st century. Can you give us a little bit of a background as to how slavery does exist in this day and age and just how bad it is?
Look, it's a shocking fact that, as you said in your intro, there are more people in slavery right now than ever before in human history. And we see all around the world that people are in such desperate circumstances that they are living in slavery or forced labour. And recent statistics from the International Labour Organization say that there's 45 million people living in slavery or forms of slavery around the world. And close to 5,000 of those are estimated to be here in Australia. And slavery takes many forms. In Australia, it can be slavery or forced labour in private homes or in factories or on the harvest trail. We've seen people trafficked into Australia from overseas and exploited in commercial kitchens. There are many forms of slavery and exploitation here in Australia. And of course, you know, one of the difficulties is working out what is the difference between poor labour conditions, underpayment of wages, and the crimes of slavery or forced labour. There are many reports almost on a daily basis about people being exploited in Australia, and sometimes those people will be in slavery or forced labour.
That's 5,000 in Australia does seem, you know, a real shock, considering that we do like to consider Australia as, you know, a pretty egalitarian country to live in. Now, you spoke about the line between slavery and poor working conditions. Can you outline a little bit what does make that distinction between the two?
Yeah, it can be really hard making the distinction too. But, you know, we've seen through parliamentary inquiries that there are many people in Australia who are working in substandard working conditions. That means they're not being paid what they should be paid. They don't get the entitlements that are provided by Australian law. But sometimes when a person is coerced to work, you know, they're threatened or they're bullied or they're tricked into working and they don't believe that they can leave that workplace or stop working, that could be a crime of forced labour. So it's this additional element of coercion that tips the balance between substandard working conditions or underpayment of wages and the crime of forced labour or human trafficking or slavery.
Now, outside of Australia, I understand the Asia-Pacific region in general is one of the worst spots in the world for slavery. Why is the Asia-Pacific region in particular so bad?
A couple of factors there, and the factors vary across countries, but there's a huge population in the Asia-Pacific. Many countries are developing, using global trade contracts to boost revenue with exploitation of and in emerging economies there. And, you know, that impacts on Australia in a number of ways. There are documented concerns about slavery. But there's just this year, slavery and trafficking in business supply chains is more Australian community to address.
Anti-Slavery Australia and a professor of law. Just, are you able to outline a little bit further some of their plans and also what you think are some things that the government could be implementing to try and make further efforts to end slavery in Australia and surrounding regions?
Well, in an exciting development, the government, the Australian government, has flagged the introduction of legislation that will require certain organisations above a certain size, measured in terms of revenue, to report each year on their structures and their supply chains to assess the risk of slavery in the supply chains and to provide information about policies and processes that the entities have in place to address slavery in the supply chain. You know, that's actually groundbreaking. It's a huge development in the Australian context that the Australian government has flagged the introduction of this legislation that would require entities above a certain size to report annually about what they're doing to respond to modern slavery in supply chain. And interestingly, that the government has initiated a consultation process, which is ongoing right now. Anti-Slavery Australia submitted our submission just a few days ago. Submissions are being assessed now. For information about that, you can look at the Australian Government Attorney General's website, Supply Chain Consultation, to see the outline of the government proposal. But it really is a momentous development. It's a huge development. And importantly, it focuses not only on business, but also other entities. So foreseeably, that could include faith-based groups, churches, universities, major NGOs, other forms of civil society, required to come together each year and to say what they are doing to address slavery in their supply chains. Of course, you know, not all slavery takes place in business contexts and in supply chains, but this would have an enormous flow-on effect and would affect potentially the daily lives of people living in the region.
Now, you've just been speaking a little bit about businesses and organisations, and of course what the government's doing in terms of assisting the impedance of slavery. Now, for the general public, for ordinary Australians, is there anything that we can try and do to make an impact on international slavery? Do things like ethical consumption actually help?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think the first thing is all of us can learn more about what is slavery. On our website, Anti-Slavery Australia, we have a free online e-learning course that covers, you know, the breadth of criminal exploitation of people. But any person can register and go through that course to learn more about what slavery is and what it looks like and what you can do in Australia. It comes out of a university, so it's a course that's in depth. It takes, you know, around about 4 hours to complete, and we are in the process of developing a cut-down version that will give information clear, that will present information clearly about indicators of slavery and trafficking and responses. But I think that's the first thing, learn more. And, you know, that e-learning course on our website is a great way of doing that. Then, you know, people might have skills that they can contribute, communication skills, fundraising skills, legal skills, and others. Get in contact with anti-slavery organisations and offer skills. Donations are always welcome. You know, you might want to run a fundraiser, and, you know, that makes a huge difference. It's been a phenomenal year this year in political advocacy and research, but there's a lot that we need to be able to do to assist victims of slavery. And in our organisation, we're venting 80 people, victims. The other thing is slavery and trafficking. I guess the phrase is a useful term to bring together all these human rights abuses and crimes, and that covers slavery, forced labour, human trafficking. But it's important not to forget another serious breach of human rights, and that is forced marriage. And learning about forced marriage, recognising that that is a form of slavery, is hugely important. So within a marriage, it's absolutely critical at law that there is full and free consent of both of the parties to the marriage. But we've seen numerous cases in Australia and certainly around the world where consent, the ability to consent, is taken away, and a person is forced to marry because they've been coerced, deceived, threatened. And this is an issue in Australia too. So learning about all forms of modern slavery is really critical. But, you know, not everything is bleak. You know, we've seen huge developments, and this year's been an example of that, where we've seen in New South Wales inquiry into human trafficking make leading recommendations about what New South Wales can do, you know, including ensuring that the New South Wales procurement guidelines are up to scratch and that there are procedures in place that ensure that goods and services will not be produced through exploited labour. Mm. And, you know, that is an example of government procurement. And, you know, in New South Wales, the procurement spend is close to $30 billion. That would make an enormous difference if the government accepted the recommendations of the inquiry into trafficking. So we're working in a climate that's fantastic. There's a huge willingness to work collaboratively across all governments, all parties, civil society, business, to address this.
Well, thanks so much, Jennifer, for joining us this morning and for all the work that you're doing to try and prevent slavery happening in the 21st century. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Philip. Bye now.